And we are now live.
All right. Welcome, everyone. It is 4:30 on Wednesday, October 6th, 2021. Welcome to the LTD Board of Directors special meeting. I'm Caitlin Vargas. I'm the board president. I'm going to go ahead and call roll. I noticed some board members are not here, so we will make note when they join, if they do join. So let's start with Michelle Weber.
Here.
Thanks, Michelle. And Susan Cox.
Here.
Thanks, Susan. And I'm seeing that both Emily Secord and Don Norden are not yet present. We've been having some Zoom issues, so hopefully they can hop on shortly. I want to thank everyone for taking the time to be here. Really quick, we'll just start with comments from the board president. I just have a very quick comment. If you noticed on the agenda that was sent out, it says 4:30 to 5:30. That's actually incorrect. Today, we are just going from 4:30 to 5. That gives us now 29 minutes to make this a very efficient meeting. And I see Don Norden has joined, so that's great. And with that, it is important that we end at 5 o'clock today because this board of directors has a budget committee meeting from 5:30 to 7:30. And that 30 minutes is gonna be a crucial break for all of us to stretch our legs and grab some dinner. So once again, hard stop at 5 o'clock. Just wanna remind everyone in that group, in this group about that. And Don, welcome. We're so excited to see you. Mark, do you have any comments?
I don't. I think we can turn over to TransPro and give them their time to do their presentation. And then if the board has any questions for them to be able to understand a best way to move forward, then I think that's where we are.
Great. Thanks, Mark.
Emily's here. Good.
Oh, okay. Cool. Welcome, Emily, and welcome, Dawn. I do not have any additions to the agenda. I'll ask for board member announcements in just a second. And I just wanted to also make note as a reminder why we're here today is that we had a conversation about giving the staff and Mark Johnson direction for this GM recruitment process. So as a reminder to the board of directors, we are listening to what TransPro's process would be for that recruitment and selection process. Our recommendation to staff would be to go TransPro or to go out with an RFP. So just keep in mind our options. And when you're asking questions, please know just that you have the ability to kind of ask whatever questions you'd like of TransPro today. And then ultimately we will need to make a recommendation to LTD staff. So Don, we got you down. Emily, we got you. Really quickly, any announcements from board members, just keeping with the agenda. Okay, great. I'm going to go ahead to and turn it over to the TransPro team. Thank you so much for being here, everyone, and welcome.
Thank you so kindly, Madam Chair, and great to see the board members. We will be very brief with presentation based upon the clear recognition of the clock ticking. I've had the pleasure of meeting all you before, so I will pass on introductions and turn to my colleague, Aaron Bingaman, for a quick hello.
Good afternoon. It was great to meet you for 75 seconds about 3 weeks ago. Hopefully my microphone's working again today. Excited to be talking with you about our executive search process. I'm managing principal with TransPro. I'm also the former head of a regional transportation authority myself. So excited to share some of my own experiences, both as an executive leader of an agency, as well as having led several searches with TransPro here. Making sure we have an efficient and effective hiring process that aligns with your strategic business plan. Mike?
Hey, good afternoon. Mike Setzer's my name. I will be the project director. I'm new to TransPro, although I've known Mark and Aaron for many years. Most of my career, I've been a general manager in a lot of places, large ones like Minneapolis and St. Louis, and small ones like Corpus Christi, and others in between, Tucson, Arizona, for instance, which I think is a similar size. So I think what I bring here is a real deep feeling and understanding for what makes general managers successful and what works between general managers and boards.
And I think Amanda is with us. Amanda, you want to give a quick hello?
I am. I was preparing the deck. Hi, everyone. I've also met most of you previously, but I'm a project analyst at TransPro and I've worked with the LTD executive team on the strategic business plan. So excited to continue supporting you all. Let's pull up the slides here.
Super. So we've got a brief presentation for you. You'll hear several voices in it. Wanted to give you a sense as to some of the folks that you'll be working with should you make the decision to engage us, you know, on the topic of selecting your next general manager. Largely wanted to spend time in regards to the process that we would follow. So Amanda, if you could advance to the next slide for me. You know us through the work that we have done with you to date in helping to build your strategic business plan. We believe, and we're actually pretty honored, that that would put us in a very strong position, having come to know you all as a board, coming to know the organization and the community, and to really begin to get a sense of what are the characteristics that you would be looking for in a permanent chief executive in order to go about acknowledging and delivering upon your strategic plan. We've been in the business of doing this sort of work that we've worked with you for more than 10 years now. We began to move into the executive search work several years ago because, as Mike Setzer was suggesting, we began to recognize just how critical the C-suite was to the success of the strategic plan. And so while we began working on strategic plan development, performance management, customer satisfaction, CEO performance reviews, and the like, it's brought us into the space, which you'll see in a second, where we've worked with dozens of agencies in recruiting the right talent to be able to carry out that strategic plan. So the work that we've been engaged with you to date, as you well know, absolutely thrilled that we could get to a unanimous vote on your strategic business plan. Thrilled to be able to work with your interim CEO in putting together the performance evaluation process for his work with you during the interim period. We believe that both of those set up wonderfully for the opportunity for us to be able to support you in selecting your next general manager. So because of that knowledge, because of the fact that we worked with you on the strategic business plan, you'll see in a second, we actually didn't adjust the next slide. This actually is our process, but you'll be amazed at how the first step in the process is so well informed by the work that we've done with you to date. So for that, I'll throw to Mike Setzer to share the approach that we would take.
Okay, thanks, Mark. So on your screen, you see a flowchart of the process we use. So there are two things I really want you to know about it. One is it works. This process has produced several successful candidates. We know it works. We've used it several times. As you can see, it's deliberate and things are in the right order, and it will become the progress report format as we go through if should we be selected to assist you in this important task. But the second thing I want you to know about it is that even though it's detailed and deliberate, it's not slow at all. In fact, I think just the opposite, because it makes us do things in the right order and makes us keep moving along and makes us keep reporting to you on progress. It in fact produces very expeditious results. For instance, this morning we reached a conclusion with another client on two candidates, and this whole process up to task 8 took about 2 months, which is really pretty quick for this sort of a process. There are also two things on here that I think make us unique. And the first is something Mark just referred to, and that is that we're already partway down the road here because of the strategic business plan. Task 1 is mostly done. We know the priorities. And we've got a good start on task 2 because of the core competencies and credentials flow from the agency priorities. So some other firm would have to start at the very beginning here. We're already on the path and moving along pretty rapidly. The other thing that makes us unique is the last box, the transition support option. And it is an option, your option, of course. But this company was founded in performance planning and performance management and team building and relationships, especially between CEO or general manager and board. And so we, unlike most firms, are not necessarily finished when the new general manager signs the offer letter. We're still involved, we hope, or we like to be. We've got a 100-day success plan. We've got other ways of supporting that transition, both with the board and with the new general manager. And again, that those are the two things that really make us unique in my mind. Let's talk about some specific examples, and I'm going to hand it off to Aaron.
Yeah, just real quick, we're going to walk you through three examples, but to be sure, that process is the same process we've applied with several agencies around the country. Some of these you might recognize: Las Vegas, Indianapolis, Detroit, Memphis, among others. Really quickly, wanted to take you through some recent examples. Earlier in the year, we had the opportunity to help CityLink in Fort Wayne, Indiana, place their general manager and CEO. The position had been vacant for 60 days, and at the point they reached out to us, they had been trying to fill it themselves and said, we really need to fill this super quick. And we had that filled in less than 90 days and started at the beginning there with helping them understand, helping us understand, what does success look like? Similar to Rock Region Metro, which is where Mike was just referencing, driving that biweekly cadence of the dialogue with their leadership team and presenting them candidates based on our understanding of what success looks like for the organization and their priorities means we can move a little bit quicker because we're bringing you the right candidates the first time around. Like Lane, we really pride ourselves on presenting pools of candidates that are diverse, both diverse from their experiences as well as culturally, and making sure that you have a leader that reflects the values of your organization. So really deep and diverse pools of candidates with both of those opportunities. One other example that we wanted to share was from Long Beach Transit, which is a bit of a larger organization. What was unique here, and I think one of the things that's unique about our approach, is that we're not always defined by finding transit people for a transit agency. Certainly that is something we value. Long Beach was really looking for somebody that was fanatical around customer experience and customer service. And so we found somebody from the hospitality industry of all places for their director of maintenance and infrastructure. So with our relationships and our reach inside the industry, we certainly can reach a really deep pool in the transit space, but also start to reach out to some other industries depending on the leader that aligns with the priorities and values you express. And last but not least, our typical schedule, we framed out a schedule here. I've mentioned 90 days. We've mentioned 90 days a couple times, but really 12 to 16 weeks is our deal process. But this scales with the pace of you and what your organization looks to fulfill. So we understand, because of our past role in leadership positions with organizations, how, you know, you've got good, steady interim leadership today, but sometimes the organization needs to fill quickly, which is why we've placed an emphasis on that sense of urgency and pacing to fill. So I just wanted to give you a sense of how we go through each one of those steps in the process and the timing it takes, and we'll be happy to answer any questions. Mark?
So just would wrap, I think we want to be mindful of the board's time. I think we want to be mindful as we if we are given the opportunity to work with you on this process of how do you identify a CEO and general manager that will help you deliver against the strategic business plan, which you have invested such time and energy into? How do you select a CEO, general manager that will help you to deliver value to the community and to your customers? And how do you ultimately identify a CEO and a general manager which can work very closely with the board on behalf of the various stakeholders that you have the responsibility as board members, as volunteers, to represent those stakeholders? So those would be three things that would be very top of mind for us as we begin to go through this process, should we be given the opportunity. With that, I think we promised 12 minutes or less. I think we might have succeeded. So Madam Chair, be happy to respond to any questions the board might have.
Mark, I'll let you and your team field the questions. Sound good?
Absolutely.
Board members, feel free to raise your hand, unmute, or use the raise hand function.
I have a question just to kick it off. why board members are thinking about it. So, you know, our community is unique. Everybody thinks they need to have a say in everything, and it's and rightfully so. I mean, there is some community involvement that needs to take place. And so I know in one of your boxes, you had outreach piece. What does that look like in your typical process?
So it's a great question you ask, and it very much varies based upon the way the community might choose to think about it. So we've worked with some communities where that's really engaged at the board level. Oftentimes with the C-suite as well, the board will pull senior executives into that conversation of forming what those core characteristics. We try to think about it, Mark, through the lens of those core characteristics of the ideal candidate, as opposed to writing a job description, right? I mean, job descriptions, you know, we can write those, but it's what are the core characteristics of the person? I think the second step can be both quantitative and qualitative, which is we've seen boards who have wanted to create focus groups of communities, focus groups of key stakeholder groups. We've seen actually surveys put out where people are able to provide their thoughts in regards to what the core characteristics are. I think the point of that second step is really establishing with the board, how deeply do you want to take this? Do we want to sort of be able to put this together? Do we want people to react to it? We want them to design it. Are we ready to just go and happy to take that in whichever direction the board thinks makes the most sense?
If I could add, Mark, I think there's a certain kind of personality in a general manager that goes along with that consultative spirit, consulting with the community. There are people who readily accept that and process it all and integrate it and use it in what they do, and other people who just resist that. So obviously, in this case, we're going to be looking for the first kind of person rather than the second.
Can I respond to the tone of the question you were asking, Mark?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Thanks for asking that. Can you guys hear me?
Looks like Emily has a question.
Can't hear.
Oh, we can't hear you.
I have a question. Can I go ahead while we... Mark, I think that what you were saying about Eugene and process is so important. I think sometimes that for Eugene, process is the product. And while that's frustrating, I think we have to really be mindful of that. And I think that we err on the side of being really robust in outreach to the community. I think that's really critical. If we don't have key stakeholders in our community involved, not running it, but involved in it, I don't think that it's going to be nearly as successful. And I think in Eugene, more than, you know, lots of other places, that is the culture of the community we live in.
And just to add to the comment that was made, we have managed processes where, to the point that you're making, community groups have been involved at the outset in establishing the core characteristics, which is what I think you're suggesting, and also involved at the mid step where we begin to identify typically three finalists that you might ultimately consider, and we can make that be a community-facing conversation so that the candidates are aware they will be going through a public process once we get down to three finalists. And they're aware of that at the gate before the board, to the point that you're making, the board ultimately makes the decision after the community's had the opportunity to weigh in.
I have another question that no one else does. I think that, you know, the idea that there are three finalists or that we actually look at and interview publicly and so on. Is there any opportunity to have a look or a profile of some of the top tier candidates before? Because I think sometimes, my experience with hiring people, our HR director says, ixnay on these people. And then, you know, you can look at the applications or the resumes and say, no, wait a second. There's something about this person that makes me want to consider them. Does that make sense?
It sure does. I'm going to pull Aaron in, who's had some experience working with boards and agencies on exactly that question. Typically, what we would see is a process where the board would be involved in narrowing typically to 6 or 7. There's not magic around the number, but typically 6 or 7. And then there becomes a deeper vetting from that conversation, ultimately to that part, by the way, is private. That part is not, you know, done in public to attract the greatest client pool or the candidate pool that you can before you go to 3, which could at that point be public in nature. Aaron, do you want to take that a little bit deeper?
Yeah, I think that what you're mapping is a really thoughtful process that a lot of the agency partners that we work with go through, that we would do some initial screening and vetting and try to deliver you 8 to 10, we think, really qualified candidates. What we want to make sure is you spend your time on really great people. So you're not going to see everybody that, you know, we reach out to and or comes through a passive pipeline. We're going to be working the network a lot of different ways through a lot of different platforms to be able to really find the right people. And this is an opportunity that's going to draw a lot of attention in the industry. It is a property and a brand that people will be excited about. There's going to be some rising stars. There's going to be some rock stars that are going to be interested in this opportunity. We want to bring you 8 to 10 that are really, really strong. From there, who do we bring in of those 8 to 10 for an initial interview? And then who do we bring in again for that second set? It's not uncommon for us to have multiple steps. We don't necessarily prescribe it from the beginning because, you know, we know when we know if it's a top 2, it might be a top 4 to bring back to the community and then run that public round, whether it's in a public interview and or maybe asking them to present how they might approach their first 100 days or how they define success and their reaction to some really key questions. There's a lot of flexibility in that screening and finalist round. And then last but not least, to the stakeholder engagement piece, are there stakeholders we'd like folks to meet with? Oh, key elected officials and or neighborhood leaders, folks within the labor force that might be interesting to engage. So some definition of that we can collaborate on that together.
Hey, I know Emily had a question. I think she's going to try and dial in so she can get that. She can ask her question. So Camille, heads up for, I think Emily's going to call in. We can bring her audio over maybe. And then a real quick question for you, TransPro gang. How do you involve the employees in this process? I mean, these are the folks that are working directly with the GM. So where do they have a say? What does that look like? Oh, you're on mute, Mark.
I've heard that 35 times this year. Terrific question. And we have handled this a little bit to the point that Aaron was making with the last question. We've handled this in multiple ways. So we've handled it as far as board members saying, we will be in control of this process. We will lead. We will do this. We will decide. Have a good day. That's the extreme on the other end. We've seen it as far on the other side where the board has actually allowed community members and employees to be on the interview panel, and in some cases, you know, really weigh in on the selection. The space in the middle, which is what you see most typically when it comes to these sorts of decisions, is a board may choose to create a focus group or two of different employee groups to be able to bring their voice to the table. I think we would suggest high-performing organizations involve C-suite executives in establishing core competencies. It's not done exclusively by the board. It's done by the people who actually work in the organization and live in the organization. So were you to ask for a recommendation, I think we would suggest it's that space of some focus groups and the like. Let me maybe turn to Aaron or Mike, who may have some comments to add on to this. Aaron?
Yeah, I think the employee engagement becomes really, really valuable because in the course of the process, when we start to define our top 2, top 3, they begin to interview us, right? So when they're on site, they want to see the property, they want to see the facilities, they want to figure out, is Eugene a community that they want to be a part of? What's the culture of the workforce? So creating time for them to get to know our people and understand, you know, the values and the energy inside the organization and what they want to be a part of with that becomes a really key part of, you know, the recruitment process. When we start to know who we want to reel them in. So they're interviewing us at that same time. So that becomes a really key component to that.
Yeah. So we've got five minutes left. Just want to give a warning to everyone. So Mike, maybe after you answer this, we'll see if Michelle and Don and Emily have anything to say.
Okay, I'll be brief. Thank you. So more than once when I've been the subject of a search, I have specifically appreciated the opportunity to go and talk to the union in the union office, to go and visit with drivers in the driver's room and to get that kind of interaction. As Mark said, I would always recommend that some method to do that kind of communication. And I'll stop right there.
Emily, are you able to ask your question? Are you connected via audio in some form?
I hope so. Is it going to work?
Yeah.
Oh, I see heads nodding. Thank you so much. Just had two brief questions. The first was, thank you, Mark, for your question. And wondering how having a community involvement team as part of this process, how much time that might extend out the process overall, and whether or not in your experience you'd recommend something like that for our group.
We would, based on our knowledge of working with you on the strategic business plan, we would absolutely recommend both the employee component and the community component. I think those would be in your best interest, and would strongly urge you to do that. I don't know that it would add appreciable time. You know, it may, I think, to the point we just did a search, as Mike was suggesting, in 60 days. So, you know, we can certainly go quick if we need to. I think in your situation, you have a very capable interim CEO at this point. So we're sort of driving our own schedule. We're not forced against it. I think the biggest issue is we're going to be doing this over sort of Thanksgiving and holiday timeframe. Yeah. And so we'll likely lose, you know, 3 weeks in the middle of that. Will be probably the bigger deterrent. But I think if you wanted to be finished in 4 months, we could be, but I don't think you have to feel pressured by that. You've got a very capable CEO today.
Don, why don't you go?
Yeah, kind of following up on Caitlin's earlier question and Mark Ash's response. And we just went through that strategic business plan, spent a lot of effort. Our staff went through it, hours and hours of work. These people have worked together. They know each other. They know the organization. Are you going to be also recruiting from among those people in our organization?
It's a good question that you ask. Clearly, the board made the decision to recruit from within for your interim CEO. And oftentimes I wouldn't want to prejudge whether others within the organization would potentially be candidates. But to the point that you make, that is always a logical stopping point, is to look within the store that you are in, if people are indeed able to make fantastic cookies that we might enjoy. So the answer is yes, we would very much expect the current workforce to be a potential for candidates for consideration.
I have a question. Seems like this is a important moment, obviously looking for a new general manager, but is it also an opportunity to kind of review the whole structure of the organization? Is the way it is now the perfect way? Can it be maybe tweaked? Or is it just perfect as it is, to take some time to really do an assessment of some of just the broader organizational infrastructure priorities? I really appreciated, Aaron, what you said about someone being hired that had a specific personality or, you know, just essence that was what they needed. I'd like to really explore some of those things, not that, you know, to be maybe something of a hybrid. Will there be an opportunity for that?
I may be able to answer that for you, Susan. So I've worked for reported five different general managers at LTD and general managers elsewhere. And every general manager that has come in wants their own structure. You know, it may tweak a little bit. They may wholesale tear it down and rebuild it. But every general manager comes from a different spot and believes the structure of organization needs to be theirs. And so it's not good or bad, or and it's not that anything's perfect or imperfect, but there's many structures that can work really well. And it really is the general manager's prerogative to set up a structure that works best for, you know, what we're trying to accomplish.
Mark, I'm not questioning that part. I'm saying before the general manager comes in, before that general manager is selected, who will be doing that, would there be some opportunity to just look at the whole organization, you know, root to branch? I'm not saying it's necessary, but I'd like to just, is that a possibility? Do you see that as helpful? Does it ever happen? Never happens?
You can weigh in on that, Mark. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I would answer your question in two parts. So the first part would be, I think anytime that a board and an incoming CEO can have a strong fact-based understanding of the current situation, everyone is always going to be better informed by that. The second part, it'll help you to recruit the best CEO, right? By having a better understanding of the organization as it is today. The second part of the question, the second part of the answer though to your question is, the new CEO really should be involved in then shaping the structure of the organization under what their vision is. And so there could be a first piece, which is that foundational fact-based understanding. But I think the last thing the board would want to do is to impose a new structure on a CEO on their first day. You very much would want to involve your CEO of what those facts lead and involve them in designing the organization as you go forward.
Yeah, I'm not in any way suggesting that there would be any imposing, but just an opportunity. I mean, what? I don't know how long it's been since we've been searching for a new general manager, but it's an opportunity to just take a look, I think, under the hood and examine it and feel confident that everybody is educated and prepared as they look for the new person.
Facts are always helpful to the conversation.
Agree.
Yeah, that, and Susan, that's a good point. And I think that's something that we can definitely continue to talk about as we, you know, make a solid plan for this recruitment process. I want to make sure that Michelle has an opportunity to speak or ask any questions as we need to wrap up.
Thank you, Caitlin. Don't really have any questions. In my experience, hiring a superintendent of Springfield School District, working with that search firm was a very interactive experience between the board and the organized, you know, the search organization. And I think a lot of these questions come to surface in that, you know, in that initial stage. And that's where you really, really have the opportunity to dive in and make those decisions and move forward. So I think my, you know, my biggest thing here today is our relationship with TransPro, the relationship that we need to engage with to move forward. And in my opinion, just I think they've, as it's been pointed out, have a really solid foundation to help us move this forward, you know, having been involved with our strategic business plan. So just something to kind of think about as we're making this decision.
And Mark and Camille, are we looking to give you a formal recommendation today as to move forward with TransPro or RFP, or is this just information only at this point?
Some direction would be good because we need to move forward regardless. And the RFP process does take time. So,
okay.
And it can be, you know, a thumbs up or not.
All right, let's just go quickly around the room and everyone just If you could please share your preference, if you would like to elect to continue work with TransPro or you're more comfortable moving forward with the RFP, just please share your preference. I'm going to start with Emily.
I am not opposed to working with TransPro. My only question marks left at this point are just price point relative to competitors.
Okay. Michelle?
I'm extremely comfortable moving forward with TransPro, and based on the relationship that we already have there, if others feel like an RFP is something that we need to do just to make sure that other opportunities, you know, others are given that opportunity, you know, I'm fine with that, but I'm completely comfortable just moving forward today with TransPro.
Okay, Don.
Well, we're consensus-based here mostly, so I want to support what the consensus is. I'm still open to a RFP, but no strong feeling on it.
Okay. Susan, what are your thoughts?
Well, I guess I feel like 30 minutes is not very much time to make this kind of a decision, which is a big one in my mind. I feel very comfortable and have been impressed by the work of TransPro. I have said that before, and I stand beside that. What's been the process before when a new general manager has been selected? Has it been an RFP? Has it been... I mean, I'm thinking about history here, and what is the community going to say? To me, the timing isn't quite as critical as much as that we get it right. So what's happened in the past?
Yeah, and I think it's multiple things have happened in the past. Okay. We have done RFPs. We've appointed general managers without, you know, any process, really. And so we've done a lot of different things. So it, you know, it just really is at this point what the board's comfortable with.
And guys, I am going to turn this meeting over to Emily. Emily, you are now in charge. I have to go get my kids from soccer before our next meeting starts at 5:30. So I have to run. Emily, you got it? Okay, great. Thanks.
So Okay.
And we didn't get Caitlin's opinion, but I think she has mentioned before that she'd like to do TransPro. Is that fair? Mark, you're muted.
Yeah, that's my impression from talking to her. So.
All right. Well, this is an interesting position to be in because I think we're a little bit split on RFP versus TransPro and moving forward. But Susan, go ahead. It looked like you
were. Another point that I think is relevant. We have two new board members coming within a month, right? Do we need to take into account what they're thinking, or do we as a smaller group go forward? I know we can do it either way. I understand we have that, but what's gonna be the best? Thinking about from the outside looking in, what are people going to look at and say, great, they did the right thing?
Yeah, and I think the process is more important than, you know, who does the process, right? And so, you know, the new board members, I mean, they have no real background or history. And so they'll be very involved in picking the new general manager, which is, and the process to do that, which I think is much more important than saying, well, you know, should we go to our RFP or shouldn't we? You know, I don't know. If you know, they have enough history, experience, et cetera, to be able to, you know, help make that decision at this point.
Okay, I think we should round robin one more time and see where we land because we are over time, guys. Michelle?
I'm honestly just very comfortable moving forward with TransPro based on the reasons I've already stated. If there is any question from any board members, then I know there's always frequently lately been comment about bringing our new board members on to be involved in all of these decisions. And I fully appreciate that. You know, I think that I know one of them's in attendance tonight, and he has worked with TransPro through another committee. You know, and I think their thoughts are valuable too. So if Mark Johnson, if we're comfortable maybe moving this to November before we make that final decision. Like I said, I know Pete's seen this presentation because I can see he's in the attendee list. Maybe that's what we need to do.
Yeah, again, it, you know, it's up to the board, you know, so.
All right, Susan, what do you think?
I'm so conflicted. I mean, on one hand, I really, I mean, Mark, Ash, I've worked mostly with you and just have found it to be, you know, really a pleasure. I have a lot of confidence in your work. But I just think that, I don't know, when was it that we went through this whole thing about RFPs and how important that is? I'm just wondering if maybe it wouldn't be important to at least consider that. I don't know, do we have to, I don't know, Michelle, what did you say? Wait till November? I guess
well,
kicking the can down the road, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we're hearing is that that's probably a pretty solid guarantee, but with our government, you know, they always have other priorities that get in front of them and that can change in a moment's notice. So we can't keep continuing to kick the can down the road, but you know, November's not that far away.
Is there a budget attached to this proposal? Or did I just not see it?
The board has not gotten the budget. I've gotten a cost proposal. We will analyze you know, costs and do our work to ensure that, you know, it's a fair price before we would contract with anyone.
All right, so Don, Mark, do you,
have
are
you
still
heard from,
on the fence as well?
Well, I'm just wondering if Mark had heard from Tiffany or maybe Michelle's heard from Lee or something about what is going on with the legislature. Are they going to do anything in November, or is it going to be February? Or
well, right now it's scheduled for November. The Senate meets the 15th, 16th, 17th of November, and so they say that they will be on one of those days.
Well, okay. That will be after our next regularly scheduled board meeting, right? I mean, by the time they actually get through that confirmation process.
Yeah. I think, to be honest with you guys, I'm less concerned about what the new board members think than just the process right the first time. I would hate to move forward one direction or the other and then have, you know, different opinions come in and change, you know, the recipe. So I think, you know, if we can get this decided, I think that's probably more beneficial to those new board members than having to start all over again. With that being said, it sounds like we're pretty divided still. Mark, is there a way that we can put this on the October 20th agenda for kind of a final recommendation? It sounds like we might need a little bit more time just to mull this over. I'm sorry. I would really much prefer to have a clear outcome.
Yeah, I mean, we can, I mean, it's pretty tight. October board meeting is time-wise tight, but I think if we can, you know, if you're ready to go, we can just, you know, quickly make a decision, we can fit it in.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we could go with TransPO now. I mean, if we went just down a strictly vote by numbers instead of consensus, then I think we would have agreement here and could proceed from now. But I don't know if Susan feels comfortable with that.
Oh, Don, to be honest, I was sort of reacting to what I felt was tentativeness on your part. So if everyone else feels strongly about it, I guess I'm ready to go ahead. As I said, I just looking, getting the screenshot tonight or the projection tonight, and then not having a chance to really digest it. I guess that was my kind of concern in making sure that I understood process and everything. But so,
Susan, if I can add anything that will help just kind of bring some comfort to this, again, that relationship with the organization that is helping perform that search is very interactive, and the board is very much in, very much involved in making the decisions on how this plays out. And nothing is, you know, they're there to guide us and give us direction and give us options, but it's ultimately our decision as to how we move forward. So with that in mind, I would think that both Pete and Gino, if I were sitting out there, and I know Gino, I think well enough to say that he would feel comfortable with whatever decision we make, and he'll just come in when he comes in and involve himself where he needs to, not to speak for him, but just what I know of him. I can't speak for Pete because I do not know Pete at all, but I do know that he has a relationship with TransPro through the strategic planning committee. So for me, I just know that the relationship with TransPro is a really, really, you know, it's there. It's in the organization. The staff has comfort with them. And I think for me, that's huge. Just knowing that that relationship has been building over this period of time.
Okay, I'm going to be just kind of pushing us one more time then. Is there any reason why we can't elect to use TransPro today? Don, are you okay with it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Michelle, are you okay with it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Susan?
Yep, I can go.
Okay, great. Mark, is that a sufficient direction for you?
We got it, because I got the thumbs up from Caitlin too. She texted me and said, I'm on. So yeah, we're good. Okay, well, thank great. You very much. Great. And you guys are really thoughtful about it, and I appreciate mm-hmm. it. And, you know, and we'll hit the ground running now. So that's I think that's important.
Is it possible, Mark, to get a copy of the PowerPoint? That'd be, I would appreciate that.
Thank you. Camille has it. I'll have her send that out.
Okay.
Perfect. Great. And then Mark,
or it should be, it's that, in the board packet, actually. It's in the board packet on our website.
It's online on the website, yes. But if it's easier, I'm happy, more than happy to email it out as well.
Perfect, you guys. Mark, you're going to let us know if as you're working through that process of reviewing contracts before you sign off on anything. And if we elect to go this route, we'll see it in the delegated authority report in the next board packet.
Yep, I'll send it out prior to that, what the great. Costs will be and whatnot. Good. Yep.
Okay, well, for the... just to be as courteous as possible, since we're so far over, I'm going to adjourn this meeting, and we'll see you guys in a little bit on the budget committee.
All right. Thanks,
everybody. Thank you so much, everyone, for your time.
Thanks, TransPro team.
Thanks, guys.